Welcome to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Brought to you by EV Mobility, here to keep you moving. For daily life, travel, or just having fun, visit goevmobility.com. Over the next hour, you'll be introduced to business and local leaders impacting our community. Text your comments or questions directly to the studio at 540-371-5756 or comment on Facebook at WFVA 1230. Now, the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
We are talking this morning, Hematology Oncology Associates of Fredericksburg. They're on Empire Court, and we're going to get an update and talk about some of the things going on in the area right now. Dr. Chris Vaughn is here. He's brought we've got a couple of guests we're going to introduce you to as we go along this morning. But Dr. Vaughn, it is good to have you here. I guess it's not too late to say Happy New Year.
Well, thank you, Ted. It's always wonderful being back, and Happy New Year to you.
A lot of things going on. Over you just were explaining to me, because as a patient of Hematology Oncology Associates of Fredericksburg, you've got another building.
We're expanding. Fortunately, I think our level of care and quality of care, I think there's always a demand in the area. We've been able to hire two new physicians who are wonderful and bring so much to the HOFE culture. But because of that, we've had to extend our reaches a little bit. We are running out of space, so we are moving just next door. We have another building that's going to offer the same services we have at our current office. But now that we have seven providers, we're going to need a little more elbow room to work.
Well, and it shows you that unfortunately, the people needing cancer care in this area continues to increase. You like to think that wouldn't be the case, but I mean, we all know it. We all know people who, in the course of in the course of a year, you have friends and family who get that diagnosis.
Yeah, I think it's just something that's happening as we're all the medical advances of cancer. Of course, we know as we age, it's one of the likelier illnesses we'll get, and so I think our ability. It's been a nice, amazing feat for us. I think it shows our level of quality of care that patients are staying in the area too. So
yeah.
We're obviously in an area where there's other competitors, tertiary centers that are in the marketplace. But I think we just give such good quality care that people are staying local, and we've always advocated for local care.
Boy, I mean, I know in my case it was huge, and to be able to be treated locally has so many advantages, just for traffic and. If you need to have child care or any number of things, if you can get treated 20 minutes from home, it sure beats having to drive a couple of hours.
And I think that's sort of our motto. It's patient first, but also that's not only the patient, it's the family, it's the spouse, the loved ones. That also there's a lot of demand when patients are going through treatment. So I think staying local just allows patients to relax and maybe just focus a little better, and we're always able to handle some of the maybe side effects or things that may come up. It just makes life easier as you're going through treatment to stay local, have your loved ones with you, have the support services in place.
Yeah, and if you feel like you say, if you do need something comes up, it's easy to be able to just drive across town.
If someone's having a bad day, let's say they're feeling kind of sick on their stomach, having some nausea, it's just an easy 10 minutes away, and we can see you that day, give you some fluids, some anti-nausea medicine, instead of driving, 45, 50 minutes up north or south on 95. We have, as we've talked before, we have a surveillance clinic, so kind of an urgent care clinic. If patients aren't feeling well, they don't need to stand in line in the emergency room. They can come right to our office. So we've tried to create these services at HOFE to be kind of a, like I said, a patient-centric place, everything can be done there. We have an outpatient pharmacy, the surveillance clinic, we have palliative care, we have all these resources that even academic centers have. So we've really tried to establish ourselves as a premier force here for treating oncology in the area.
We won't get into it today. We've talked about it before, and at some point we'll do another show, I'm sure, on it soon. But you're also really at the forefront of when some of these tests are taking place. all of the doctors there are involved in those kinds of things, and it's very frequent that a lot of people around here take part in some of these testings.
We have tumor boards. We're so collegial, I think, with other specialists in the area. You know, we have, like I said, 7 providers. We constantly are talking, communicating, updated on all the changing medications, the landscape, and oncology is always shifting. We're running our own diagnostic molecular testings, flow cytometry, these kind of specialty tests. We have, as we've talked before, TED clinical trials in the office. So we're really trying to make sure that patients staying local, but also they're getting the most advanced level of care as well.
So you've brought one of the new doctors. How do you go about looking for a new doctor that fits a practice like this?
It has become a challenge. I think one thing that we're a little bit unique. We are our own private practice. So I think as Dr. Nanda will allude to, sometimes maybe that in itself may allow us to recruit a little better and not be involved in an academic center or a hospital-based system. It allows a little more autonomy. And I think that's one of the great things about our practice. We bring in physicians who kind of can kind of find their own way and do their own thing.
Dr. Nanda, welcome.
Thank you. Thanks for having me on the show.
Well, you've been in the area for how long?
I've been here 6 months now. So I moved in July. So I came from Birmingham, Alabama. So I was there. Actually, I was practicing there in a university setting as an oncologist for about 4 years after graduating from there. And I was wanting to kind of move into a community-based practice and got an opportunity to interview with Juan and his colleagues and really liked the practice. As I said, you know, being privately owned and having that, you know, freedom to really provide good quality care without a lot of, you know, overhead and a lot of, you know, oversight. Sometimes it may be a good thing. And coming from an academic practice, I'm going to say that, you know, I've been really happy here. I feel I'm really giving great quality care to our patients, sometimes more timely care than sometimes I've been able to, even in an academic setting. So definitely no complaints here. I've really enjoyed the 6 months I had here.
So when you're kind of talk a little bit about what it's like in an academic setting as opposed to what you're doing now here locally.
Right. I think the biggest difference in an academic setting would be you spend lesser time in the clinic with patients because you have other commitments. You have to have some research portfolio in your, you know, pocket, and you have to maybe have some few publications per year. So, you know, in some ways, your concentration on your patient gets a little bit diluted. Of course, the advantages are sometimes you may be more cutting edge in what you do. And you tend to focus on one particular, you know, disease category instead of being more generalized, like in a community practice. But on the whole, I feel, you know, as long as, you know, we are able to get great quality care in a community, I think you're close to, you know, 90 to 95% getting the same care that you'd get in an academic setting, except for maybe some phase 1 trials, which again can only be done in a university setting.
Sure, sure. So, is there a certain focus? Are there certain cancers that you focus on?
So, in the academic setting, I was focused on some genitourinary cancers, which are like kidney, bladder, prostate, even testicular. But now I do pretty much everything in the books, you know.
Yeah.
But I think it's been great. I think the variety of cases that you see here, the patients that you see, are amazing. And also, you know, the patients I've encountered here are so friendly. You know, they are so trusting in a lot of ways. And you know, I really enjoyed forging relationships with them better than I would have, you know, in the academic setting. So, you know, really been much better than what I thought it's going to be.
We're going to take a quick break and come back. We have someone else to introduce you to, Hematology Oncology Associates of Fredericksburg, our focus this morning. HOAFredericksburg.com, the website. More on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
Opinions, we've all got them, and we'd like to hear yours on Town Talk. Brought to you by EV Mobility, here to keep you moving. For daily life, travel, or just having fun, visit GoEVMobility.com. Text the studio now at 540-371-5756. Here's the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
It is Hematology Oncology Associates of Fredericksburg here this morning. Dr. Chris Vaughn is here. Dr. Nanda is also here. And Dr. Vaughn, you have brought in a second of the new doctors to introduce the community to.
Yeah, I'm so proud to introduce Dr. Jong An, who has joined us now 6 months as well in the office. He actually was doing some locums work for us for a couple weekends, I think the last couple of years, Jong, right? He would do some hospital stuff for us. So we got to know him years ago. He's his level of care is excellent. Patients love him, and we're so thrilled that he's been able to join the practice as well. So Dr. An.
Welcome.
Sure. Yes.
So you have a military background, correct?
Yes. I served. I retired from the military after serving 24 years as an Army medic, as well as a physician. I did 24 years, and basically after 4 years of working as an Army medic, I applied for a military scholarship, and I got it. And it took like 10 years, 4 years medical school, and then you do 3 years of interim medicine residency and 3 years fellowship. So that's 10 years. And then I worked as a physician for just 10 years. So if you kind of break down that 24 years of services, I just worked as a doctor for 10 years. Fredericksburg was this place is interesting because I have families in Richmond as well as Northern Virginia.
Mm-hmm.
I actually grew up here in Fairfax. And this was a place where you kind of drive through from Richmond to Northern Virginia.
Yeah, there's a couple exits you can get off of.
Yeah, you have to stop by for gas here and there. But after when I was stationed at Fort Belvoir for 3 years, I want to get some civilian experience. So I worked here part time on the weekends. I really enjoy working with the doctors here as well as patients. And I really checked out Fredericksburg. I realized that this is only less than an hour from where I live. And I really enjoy working and talking and interacting with the patients. And unlike military, where you move every 3 years, I'm really looking forward to having a long-term relationship with the patient.
Yeah.
And because when, God forbid, when the cancer comes back, they want to be taken care of by the familiar face. They want to see their old doctor.
Yeah.
So that they I think having a comfortable interaction with the doctor and the patient and having the trust is very, very important.
That's a great point. And I don't think one that we have never really talked about is we talk about when you're initially treated for cancer, and if it does come back, how difficult are those conversations with patients?
I think that that's something that is always back of our mind. We follow patients at least 10 years after we finish the treatment, and every patient has story, what led to the diagnosis. And then during treatment, we get to know the patient's personal side and so on. So when it comes back, I think what we do is that we figure out what caused the recurrence. So we do the testing. We check the tumor testing to see if the cancer has acquired different mutations over the years. And what I like about medical oncology is that the cancer is one of the most common cause of death, and we have a lot of research going on. We have a lot of smart people going into this research to determine what makes the cancer grow and what makes the cancer spread. And so because of the ongoing research, we bring hope to the patient. So when, God forbid, if a patient's cancer, like for instance, a lung cancer comes back, they say 4 years later, then we have new treatment options for these patients. Immunotherapy is a good example. This just came out few years ago. I mean, 10 years ago, we would have used chemotherapy all the time. But with immunotherapy, it opened up a new hope for the patient. I'm hoping that in next 5-10 years, we have more treatment options and that will bring more hope. And I think having hope is an important thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I never thought of that, though, Dr. Vaughn, about years, just even a few years later, treatment options do change.
Oh, yeah. Matter of months sometimes it can change. But I think, getting back to your original question, Ted, I think it is probably one of the hardest things we deal with is when we've had a patient maybe for early stage cancer and we do everything right, and then 5 years later, you know, it comes back. I think it's probably one of the hardest things, actually, as an oncologist and the patient. You develop these relationships and you go, well, what, you know, first, like, what went wrong? You know, what happened?
Yeah.
And you're having these conversations with a patient. But this is where, you know, you have the trust relationship with your patient. That, well, you know, what's next? And fortunately, I think in my, you know, 15 years of doing this now, there is a great A, B, C, and D, usually, option left to use. But it is one of the harder things we deal with when recurrence happens after initial, you know, curative therapy.
No, you hear it. When you hear it all the time. When you do it. In my case, when you have friends, and all of a sudden it is that thing. You know, so I wonder what happened.
Yeah, I think there's always like, what did we not do? And you know, you follow the guidelines, you follow what you should do, and unfortunately, there are, you know, percentages of patients that you do everything right, and it still can come back.
Yeah.
I think that's where, though, as Dr. Ahn was alluding to, I think our ability maybe to figure out, you know, why was that cancer resistant, our ability to kind of understand the genomics of the cancer. We're getting smarter with our research and finding more of a, I use kind of like a drone strike. What is specifically wrong with that cancer? We're able to kind of select a targetable treatment for it. And that's really where the advancements in oncology are happening.
And I guess the other thing, I mean, in every cancer, in every person is different. In my own case, you thought a few years ago, an X-ray came back and there was something there, and it turned out not to be, but for 6 weeks or so, in doing some testing, at least in my case, you know, you're kind of on edge.
Oh gosh, I mean that's part of it is the anxiety of going through the testing to figure out if something is back or that's where it's that's really part of our job is really trying to help patients, help families, kind of doing our best to lessen the angst, you know, offer hope, but that's a stressful period. You know, 4 to 6 weeks when you have something. I mean, the CAT scans, PET scans are great, but a lot of times they can be falsely positive, meaning they're not cancerous. But gosh, you know, when you see the report, patients, families get nervous, we get nervous. But that period of time is definitely anxiety provoking.
I still remember the day you called to tell me that it hadn't come back. I was out by Lake Anna, and I pull off to the side. I can tell, you know, anytime I drive by that spot now, I think of that's when I got the call from you.
When I get the information back, I love to call patients immediately. Whenever we can kind of definitively tell them that not to worry, you know, I like to do it because I think every minute, every hour of just, because that's, you try your best as I haven't gone through myself with cancer, I could only imagine and knowing my patients that you can't repress those feelings. You know, they're still on your forefront of your mind. So once we're able to let you know, you know, the testing's negative, I try to get that out immediately to patients so they can kind of take that weight off their shoulder.
And Dr. Nanda, just like we've everybody said, I mean, you get to know your patients.
Yes.
And I mean,
yes.
you're part of, like it or not, you're part of the family.
Yes. Yes, and you know, I think usually my first meetings with my patients, I like to get to know the family as well, know their value system. I think end of the day, you know, you may have a preconceived notion of what this treatment should look like when you walk into the patient room, but once you have a conversation with the patient and the family, you always want to make sure that coincides with what they are expecting, what they feel is reasonable to undergo. You know, going back to, you know, the personalization of cancer care, I think it's not just based on patient personality or, you know, or family's values. I think we also need to, nowadays with newer technology, also understand better about the tumor characteristics and try to better personalize the cancer treatment so that we are getting a more precise treatment that often translates to lesser side effects. So often when patients come in with their families, they're thinking, oh my God, this treatment is going to be horrible. And, you know, we're going to feel lousy the whole time. Mm-hmm. It could be life-threatening, etc. But, you know, nowadays we have gotten better with managing side effects. We also gotten better at how precise we can be in terms of targeting the cancer. So understanding the tumor characteristics with all these kind of genomic data, DNA analysis has been really helpful as well.
That was me. I mean, I was certain I was going to be sick the whole time. Mm-hmm. And Dr. Vaughn, you had said that the treatments really have changed, and getting chemotherapy now doesn't always, again, everybody's different, but doesn't always mean that. And it didn't with me.
Right. I think not only our ability to kind of, as Dr. Nana was talking, our ability to kind of precisely find medications that work a little better usually lessens kind of broad side effects. We also have some great, you know, anti-nausea medicines. There are a lot of advancements in other symptom management protocols that we give that really have helped patients. And that's important, I think, in order to really succeed is you have to have patients successfully undergo the therapy, you know, manage the side effects, because if patients can't stay on track with the treatment schedule, then we may not have the outcomes we need. So, but I think as Dr. Nana was talking about, I think our ability to kind of more precisely find the weaknesses in the tumor lessens kind of the broad side effects from older treatments. So we're constantly, you know, finding new medications that do that.
We'll take a quick break and continue on. Hematology Oncology Associates of Fredericksburg here this morning, hoafredericksburg.com, if you want to find out more about the practice and who's there. And there's also a Facebook page that keeps you up to date, too, on what's going on in the region. More on News Talk 1230 WFVA. It is 8:30.
I had the radio on. I'm listening to
Talk Done Right. News Talk 1230 WFVA Fredericksburg, a Centennial Broadcasting Station. You're listening to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Brought to you by EV Mobility, here to keep you moving. For daily life, travel, or just having fun, visit goevmobility.com. Got a question for today's guest? Text the studio now at 540-371-5756. Here's the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
Dr. Chris Vaughn is here this morning along with Dr. Nanda and Dr. An from Hematology Oncology Associates of Fredericksburg. They're on Empire Court, hoafredericksburg.com. You just told me during the break, Dr. Vaughn, because you do a podcast, that the three of you have done a podcast. I should have just introduced the show, introduced you, and let you guys recreate your podcast this morning. I'm doing way much more work than I need to.
Well, you do a much better job kind of navigating the questions than I did to these guys. They're much more talkative in front of you than with me. But, no, I try to do a podcast. It's really interesting. I started it about 2 years ago. Really, actually, I think we talked about this when COVID happened, the pandemic. We really wanted to get information out to our patients.
Yeah.
And we've talked about how we were able to stay open the entire time. And that's such a testament to our staff. We didn't stop seeing patients, treating patients through the whole pandemic. But part of the podcast was just to get information out to patients, and we've taken it from there. It's more of a, I like to talk about what patients like to hear in the community, so we've done some a talk on nutrition, had a couple episodes on medical cannabis, a lot of stuff that's out there that patients want to talk about but may not be able to sit down with their doctors, you know, for 30 minutes. So, so it's informative for me. I've learned a lot about a lot of different aspects of medicine that like nutrition, yoga, for instance, a lot of these integrated practices. We're gonna have a talk. Next podcast is actually gonna be one more of a historical kind of perspective, because it's our 35th anniversary coming up as a practice. So we're gonna talk to some of the other older docs in our practice, I should say. I'm getting kind of one of the older docs now in practice too. But some of the initial ones who were there before me. Our initial founder, Dr. Angus Muir, founded the practice 35 years ago. So it's a little anniversary talk, a little flashback. So I'm excited about that podcast.
When I was being treated by you, I ran into a number of people who had been treated by Hematology Oncology Associates of Fredericksburg, and they talked about where you weren't in the same location, and it was different locations, and it was interesting hearing the history of just how you've grown.
Yeah, it dates back. The two kind of founders of oncology in Fredericksburg were Dr. Angus Muir and Dr. Leroy Essig. We've learned so much from both of them, but they were separate. And Dr. Angus Muir started the practice. Yeah, it was behind Mary Washington Hospital, those sort of complex of ranch style offices was, was where actually that was my I started 2008 August 2008 was when I joined the practice, and that was where my first year that's where I had my clinic hours. We were I was the fourth physician there. They didn't have enough space for me, so I actually was placed in a closet. That was my desk. I was able to show that I was proved my worth, I guess, and actually finally got an office after that. But that was as we were there, we're building our office as we know now on Empire Court. So it's been amazing to see the growth. When we started, we were I think we had 13, 14 employees. Now we have we just had our holiday party, and we have 127 employees now. Amazing. Yeah. And it just shows the it's not only just the it's the demand in the area, you know, for a level of cancer care, but also just what we've been able to do as a practice, and in order to see us be able to have 127 employees, to develop not only our relationships with our staff, it's wonderful too. That's also one thing, as we talked about the difference between maybe academic centers and private practices, relationships we have, you know, with our nurses, our front desk people, our patient accounts. It's just it's different than other places.
Yeah, and I think one thing to, you know, be mindful about, especially in cancer care, is it's not just an individual, you know, effort. I think it's really a team effort. You know, it's not just me being good at what I do. It has to be the nurses, you know, the nurse practitioners, the staff in the lab, the staff in the infusion. So I think providing good quality care includes, you know, having good values in patient care that is, you know, adopted across the whole organization, and people believing in it. And, you know, that's what the team effort comes down to. And I believe that's the good work culture we have at Hof, and which I've been very impressed by.
I'm glad you mentioned that, Dr. Nanda, because I had thought of that initially as a topic we could talk about, because I remember coming in, and so, I mean, you obviously, Dr. Vaughn, were the first person I encountered, but then after that, you know, you meet the people in infusion, and then you meet who your nurse is going to be, and in nurses in some cases. And they are really the ones you see. I would go sometimes several visits of actually not seeing you. I would hear that this is what you were looking for, and this is what. But the nurses are a real important part of during cancer treatment.
Oh, they're at the center. I think I can't tell you how many times I hear such great things when I see a patient about how their wonderful experiences back in the infusion area with the nurses. I think our nurses, a lot of times our patients maybe tell our nurses stuff they may not tell us. You know, they kind of are front line, you know, with the patient, and maybe what's going on at home, you know, maybe some family matters, some other matters that are important to the patient that maybe sometimes we may not express to us at our first or second visit. So I think that's what's wonderful about HOF. I think the culture, the patient-centric kind of culture, you know, as physicians, our nurse practitioners, our infusion nurses, I think we all embody that. And for a patient to be comfortable throughout their journey of cancer, it's important that message is kind of is centered through with everyone. You know, everyone who's you know, everyone in the HOAF organization.
Dr. Ron, I guess too. I mean, anytime you hear the words "it's cancer" and you start going down that journey, it's terrifying. But to have to have nurses you can work with, and to be able to develop a relationship with the family, you want to make it as you want to. It changes your life, obviously, but you want to be able to work and you want to be able to work with the individual patients as fit as close to being like family members as you can.
Exactly. I you know, I entered the field of medicine because my father passed away from brain tumor called glioblastoma, and I was only at that time 10 years old, and I know the cancer diagnosis changes the whole family. It changes the relationship with others. And patients come in and they get treatment not because themselves, but also because of their husband and wives, their family members. and so on. So when patients come in, the interaction with the front desk is very important. And by the time they come see me, the patients went through all those interactions, and I play some role in there, providing guidance. And I also have a team with nurses, administrators, and so on. And whether it's military or outside the military, I think excellent cancer care is pretty much the same. I think communication is important. Caring is also very, very important because it shows. You cannot just fake it. I think the patients also appreciate when you follow up with phone call with the results. I think mm-hmm. Dr. Vaughn kind of talk about it, not wait until the next week or so. As soon as you get the diagnosis, as soon as you get the important information, let the patient know, and they come back and they thank me for letting them know, because our job isn't just to figure out what's going on, but also following up the results and improving communication with the patients and so on, and also finally working with others as a team. As a doctor, we're not the boss here. We are actually the one small area in this team approach. Every week I have a meeting with my nurses, with my nurse practitioners and so on, and they bring me insights, things that I don't know with the patient, and that helps me to deliver better care for the patients, because in the end that's what's most important.
I didn't ask you, Dr. Nanda, how did you get involved in medicine? How did you enter all of this?
Going back, I did my med school in India. So I think, the reasons I got into med school, I didn't really have any particular reason. I think I was just good in academics, and medicine was one of the paths that kind of fell into my lap, so to speak. But after moving to the U.S., I really kind of wanted to focus on something that I really feel I'm making a difference to patient care. I think I trained as an internist, and after which, my question to myself was, I really want to make an impact to a patient's life, and how I could do that was I really figured oncology was the way to go, because I think treatments in oncology have improved leaps and bounds. As we already mentioned, things that were relevant and standard of care today would no longer be relevant even a few years from now, because things are always improving, always evolving. Cancers that were not curable are now considered curable, even advanced cancers. So I think this is where a lot of change is happening. This is where I feel I'm being most impactful for my patients. And again, going back to also the patient interaction, I think being a good oncologist is also about managing expectations. When you walk in, you don't want to overpromise, and you also don't want to kind of undertreat. You want to kind of make sure you're doing the right thing for the patient. Often I ask myself, in some situations where I'm kind of undecided which way to go, I often ask myself, if this were my family or this were myself, what would I do? And then things become more clear in terms of what needs to be done. So I think making sure you don't have any compromises in patient care. Sometimes you may have an idea or a treatment that you think is going to work for sure, and it may not be, on label for that treatment. And sometimes you may have to go off label sometimes. And I've had sometimes good success with these kind of approaches. So I think, as I said, oncology is a very complex disease. You have to manage keeping up with a lot of new advances. And in addition, also making sure you understand what the patient wants, what the patient is feeling at any given point in time. I think every day I love my job.
And Dr. Vaughn, I'm Exhibit A and just changing treatments, because you initially told me this is how we're going to do it, and a couple weeks later came back and said that, you had all met as what – it's got a name of when you guys all get together locally, and came back and said, this is more aggressive than we thought. This is what we're going to do instead.
Yeah, I think just to kind of highlight on what Dr. Nano was saying, I think I struggle the same thing. I think sometimes medicine is more of an art than a science, because it really is. We know sometimes what the right thing to do, but sometimes you really have to, you got to kind of plan that with what the patient wants, what their expectations are, what they, you know, what they enjoy about their life. You know, we could, you know, we could hinder that. For instance, I have one who's a musician, and for this person, if he develops some significant neuropathy, you know, that would really affect what he enjoys to do. So we're constantly always trying to individualize our treatment plans. And sometimes that's more of an art than a science, because you think things should be one way, but that may not mesh with what the patient wants to do. And as we're, Ted, for what I we meet all the time with, we call them tumor boards, where it's also one of the things that I enjoy with these guys here with us today. I talk to them all the time about, you know, cases and what you would do in the situation, but also some of our other specialists, our pathologists or radiologists, we always want to make sure that we get a consensus on what the right thing would be. That's what is the relationships we have here in Fredericksburg amongst our HOF doctors, but also some of the specialists outside is wonderful. Mm-hmm. And I always want to make sure that for every patient I'm doing the utmost for them. And sometimes that is kind of gathering other information. You know, I think sometimes other data can help decide that and present it back to the patient or families and see which direction to go.
Dr. Nada mentioned it, that I'm sure you all have seen just such advances in cancer treatment. In some cases it's phenomenal the way I just look at leukemia of how if I had gotten leukemia in the 60s as a child, what my future would have looked like as compared to now.
It's changing. I think Dr. Ahn mentioned immunotherapy, for instance, for lung cancer. That, you know, just kind of started that about five years ago. I mean, it's just the landscape is constantly evolving. And it's part of the hope, you know, when we talk with patients sometimes, saying, well, look what just changed, you know, and it's, you know, 5 years from now, what's going to change? And that's actually the exciting thing about oncology. I mean, I know we're kind of so kind of specific in our own, you know, niche of medicine with oncology. I assume other areas have their own advancements, but just focus on oncology. Mm-hmm. Just the evolution, just it happens so fast. We have to be updated constantly on the changes, and that's sometimes a challenge. You know, for us, you know, having a busy practice, but constantly trying to learn and the new stuff that's coming out.
HOAFredericksburg.com, the website for Hematology Oncology Associates of Fredericksburg, also a Facebook page, will keep you up to date. We'll take a break and wrap this up. Great show this morning on News Talk 1230, WFVA.
Renew.
This is Town Talk on News Talk 1230, WFVA. Brought to you by EV Mobility, here to keep you moving. For daily life, travel, or just having fun, visit goevmobility.com. Miss an episode of Town Talk? No problem. Just subscribe to the Town Talk podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, and Spotify. Now, the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
Hematology Oncology Associates of Fredericksburg here this morning. Good stuff. Dr. Vaughn is here along with Dr. Nanda and Dr. Ahn. Dr. Ahn, as we kind of wrap this up, when a person does get the diagnosis, you've got cancer, I guess it's good to bring a family member in, I think, just to take notes and even ask questions. Because I know in my case, I fogged over as soon as those words were said.
Yeah, I love questions. I love when patients ask me questions. It shows that they want to know their disease. They want to be active participant. I have patients who take who records my voice. I don't know why, but they record my voice and record it because they don't want to miss any details.
Right.
I know the details can be overwhelming. I try to speak slowly, but sometimes it's not easy. And I know the first meeting, I always think about how much patient really understand, how much at the end of the day when they go home and tell their family members, how much can they tell them the information that I told them. So I always think about the ways for me to improve communication. I think that after serving in the U.S. Army for 24 years and then working as a physician for 10 years, I know that next 10 to 20 years, I really want to do a really good job taking care of patients, because I know this is not I know the cancer diagnosis can be very frightening and difficult, and it impacts not just individual but impacts other family members. And I think that Dr. Landa was right about what would you do if I had the cancer diagnosis. And I think that what's important is to provide a very clear, personalized treatment for the patient, because not one treatment works for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's a lot more research going on about why particular treatment works on one patient but not another. I think that's a growing field. Sometimes the cancer treatment can be worked in the lab, but it doesn't work inside the person. So they're doing more research about that. I think it's exciting. I think it's gonna be, sometimes can be challenging for us to keep up, but I think that's a good thing. I think all of us, we're here to provide service. This is we went into medicine to provide hope and to provide service to others, and I think it's a great honor and privilege to do this.
We've only got just a little over a minute left. Dr. Nanda, I always think about technology and just think, what a great time to be alive.
Yes.
And I look at medicine the same way. What mm-hmm. a great time for us to be alive because of some of the things that you all have talked about today.
Yes, yes. You know, nowadays we have so many, you know, biomarkers or other tools we have in order to detect cancer earlier than waiting for a scan sometimes. And also to assess cancer response to treatment, to know if your treatment is working in real time. So all of this is kind of in the works, some of which have already been approved and we're currently using in clinical practice. End of the day, that's just part of, you know, cancer care as a whole. As we already mentioned, we're all human beings, and we strive to stay humble, and instead of trying to know as much as we can about each cancer. Yeah. And that's where we have these kind of community tumor boards. We tend to feed off each other's knowledge and try to provide the best care for our patients. It's been an honor to be at HOFF, and they have such a great work culture, a patient-centric culture, which, you know, as a new person joining the practice, I hope to continue moving forward. Yeah.
You guys are all rock stars. What a great show this has been, Dr. Vaughn. Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks to our recruiting effort for these two.
Yeah, you guys. To have a former Army doctor, he's going to be punctual, and you know that he's going to get here on time. Yeah. And that's the great thing. I knew that you'd be here on time, and that they would. It's great to have you here. HOA Fredericksburg.com is the website, and again, if you've got any questions, and check it out. It's like we said, it's a scary time in life, but this is a great it's great to get some background and to know about what is available here in Fredericksburg. Thank you all.
Thank you.
Thank you, Dan.
Thank you.
We'll do this again soon. Thanks. Great show. Thank you for listening. We'll see you in the morning.
Thanks for listening to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Brought to you by EV Mobility, here to keep you moving. For daily life, travel, or just having fun, visit goevmobility.com. The views expressed by the host and guests on this program are their own, and not necessarily those of this station, its management, or Centennial Broadcasting. Hear Town Talk anytime by subscribing to the Town Talk podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, and Spotify. The Glenn Beck program is next on News Talk 1230 WFVA.